Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. And in this program, we try to answer your questions, queries, and issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Professor Salman Naqavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University, Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Sir, we have been talking about the adolescents and their relationship with the world, with the environment, with the natural world, with the virtual world. And one of the questions that we have from the audience is that, when is the best time to teach a child, especially an adolescent, about the concept of mahram and non-mahram? Since we have been talking about virtual world, and virtual world gives us opportunities to get in contact with anyone, it gives us access to reach anyone at any point of time. So how do we control this?
Yes, I think basically the concept of mahram and non-mahram has to be imbibed at a very, very early age, especially if a child from a very tender age, at 7 or at about 7 years of age or a little bit before that, at least when he starts to realize the difference between men and women. Till at the time, for example, maybe 5 years, 6 years of age, he may not know what the difference is. But the moment a child starts to
realize things
and distinguish between men and women and the features they have, that is the time when he should realize then there has to be a separation, or there has to be some distinction as far as the clothing goes. So if he sees his mother or his sisters or the women folk who are in the household or outside and within the relatives, he knows that this differentiation and distinction is not only in the physical features, it has its implications in the way we dress in front of each other. Then he will start to realize that there has to be some sort of hijab.
Okay.
Taking into consideration that hijab is not just, as I mentioned before, maybe that it's not just the it's not a clothing, it's a condition which has to be observed. Now, the type of clothing could be anything, starting from a chador or a scarf or whatever. But the important thing is that it has to be a covering. It has to be a sort of covering.
Yeah.
And he should realize that certain parts of the human body have to be kept covered. So this realization should become at an early age. And of course, when he attains the level of adolescence and is becoming an adult, and he or she then has to take care and observe by himself or herself this issue, then she has to be, or he has to be taught what it means to be. So there has to be, before the teaching comes, the explanation comes, there has to be a practical demonstration of it.
All right. We'll discuss more on this after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Nakavi, and we're discussing when a child should be taught the concept of mahram and non-mahram. Professor Nakavi, you cleared the very important part over here that we don't have to wait for a child to become an adolescent and then teach him the concept of mahram and non-mahram. Rather, from the very early age, when he understands the difference between men and women, when he understands what's good and what's bad, and that's when it has to be imbibed into him, and that too through a practical demonstration.
Exactly. So he may or may not understand the difference between a lady who is a mahram to him or a gentleman who is a mahram to a girl. But he or she should realize that there's a difference and distinction between men and women as far as their physical features go, so they need to be covered. And gradually he will understand, he should be able to understand gradually when he is able to think over things. Then he can realize the difference and differentiate between a lady who is mahram and a lady who is not a mahram. But then, even then, if in the household he sees his mother, his sisters, observing hijab in front of others who are non-mahram to these ladies, he will realize that these ladies have to observe that. Or the other way around also. For example, another thing is that adolescence, or the age of puberty or bulugh, as we call it, where he becomes or she becomes legally, it becomes legally binding on them to observe hijab. Some ulama even consider the age previous to that, where a child is able to realize the difference.
Okay.
Even then, women folk have to, for example, abstain in front of such a child, and they should take care of their clothing and their covering. The boy who comes into their gathering, if he's not an adult, he's not attained the age of puberty, even then he knows the difference between men and women, and he realizes these things. He may not be an adult. Even then, it is ihtiyat and precautionary for ladies to abstain and to remain covered in his presence.
Yeah.
So this also brings about this realization within the child also that there is something which has to be taken care of.
All right. So what is most important over here is that there's a practical demonstration going on in the family all the time whenever the mahrams present, whenever there are non-mahrams present, by the women folk especially, who play a major role in this understanding. So it's the women folk who do play a main part over here.
They should, for example, if they have guests, relatives coming together, they should try to remain, the women folk should remain in one room, and the gents should come to another room. So there should be a separation or even if there's a big hall, then there should be on one end the ladies should sit, the other end the men folk should sit. So there is a realization within the family that this separation has to be created. And this will make the child practically observe things. Then later on, he can be taught the rules about hijab and coverings.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on this important topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who recites the Quran before puberty has indeed been given wisdom in his childhood."
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. And we're saying when a child has to be taught the concept of mahram and non-mahram. Professor Naqavi, you said it's not the age of adolescence when a child has to be made understood this is the thing. Rather, at a very tender age, the practical demonstrations should be going on in the family. And now you were telling us some of the concepts, some of the ways how we can actually practically demonstrate it. You said one of the ways is to, whenever there are guests and there are males and females, we can separate the rooms so that this concept gets imbibed in them.
Especially, of course, when the guests may be not, if they're not relatives at all, then of course this has to take place. It's much better. And of course, there can be a mixed gathering, but it would be better to separate them completely. And if they are relatives, then at least the separation is by keeping people on different, and even in the same room, they are sitting separately. So this is practically demonstrating how to separate between men and women. And another thing which has to be taught to children is by keeping lowering their gazes. The women folk, when they look, they're talking to men, they should lower their gaze. Men are talking to women folk, they should keep their gazes lowered. So this also will teach the children that this is how we need to deal with our, with the opposite sex. So as we said, hijab is not just only in covering; it's also in looking eyes. At each eyes. It's also in the way how we walk. The way we walk should be modest. It shouldn't be so that it causes people to look up to you and gaze at you. And the way you walk and even talking should also be not in such a way that it causes people's feelings to be aroused. So,
hijab should be in talking as well.
Yes, in looking, gazing, talking, walking, and in coverings. So, all of these, as we mentioned before, are mentioned in the Holy Quran. And this has to be kept into. And the important thing is that we need to make people realize, children especially realize, it's not a sort of confinement. It's not limitation.
It's not causing
our freedom to be taken away.
Yeah.
It is rather providing us the freedom to engage in a better way, in a positive way, engaging with others
to get known through our intelligence rather than our hairs and external.
Physical features shouldn't be important. The more important thing is how we think, how we feel. That is more important, and that has to be communicated. But if the apparent features, the clothing, become a sort of barrier to the actual thoughts and feelings which are there, then that is a negative thing. That would not be conducive in any society where we need to engage with people based on their thoughts and their feelings. If we want to progress as a nation, if we want to progress as a community, we should be talking to each other in a manner that will lead to a constructive development of society. But if we are unfortunately entangled in the physical features of each other's, and we are our feelings are aroused by that, then we're not going to get engaged into constructive discussions.
All right. So what is most important is that from a very early age of a child, you got to demonstrate your modesty in front of others through the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you look at others, and especially the covering, obviously, and everything should reflect the modesty. That's how he gets the concept of mahram and non-mahram at a very early age. And as an adolescent, it becomes very easy for him to observe things. Well, thank you so much, Professor Naqavi, for being with us. Thank you so much to your listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also search us on the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. We'll be there. And in case you want to listen to our program or our previous sessions as well, go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/encoicallofislamtab. Thank you so much for being with us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.